the old adage that where a court begins in its analysis will often determine where the court ends up. And so they list five canons of construction. First, the greatest estate canon, and it's rejected by the court as being unhelpful because of an express reference to Exhibit A. Then they go to any reservation must be by clear language and cannot be implied. That's rejected because the dispute was about what was granted. It was not about a reservation. Then they go to the third canon to resolve any doubts against the party who drafted the document. That's rejected by the court because it only applies where the instrument is ambiguous. Fourth, they look at evidence of surrounding circumstances, or one might say context. This the court recognizes as relevant, but not helpful because the context doesn't really support either party's position. Okay. Finally, the court focuses on the entirety canon or the harmonizing canon. That's the one that is used by the Supreme Court of Texas, but it was also the one that was used by the Court of Appeals, and the courts reached two different conclusions. Of course, the Supreme Court's opinion prevails. Well, this is about a deed that, again, talks about all right, title, and interest, okay? The case is the Prana case, okay? Now, the deed is a bit complicated because it talks about conveying the right, title, and interest in properties described in Exhibit A only insofar as set out in Exhibit A. Then it talks about the deed including working interest, leasehold rights, overriding royalties, reversionary rights, all presently existing contracts to the extent signable, overriding royalties payable of oil and gas produced from leases described in Exhibit A, and then it has a proportionate reduction clause. Well, here's Exhibit A, or at least the key part of it. And the problem is that Exhibit A refers to the well. It refers to the northwest quarter where that well is located. And then it refers to the oil and gas lease, which covers all of Section 28. Well, the trial court held that the overriding royalties that were in dispute were conveyed to all of Section 28, which is the same decision the Supreme Court reaches. The Amarillo Court of Appeals, using the harmonizing canon, thought that the override conveyed royalty only as to the well located in the northwest quarter, because they were trying to give meaning to all of the provisions. The Supreme Court, though, focused on the language in the deed plus the reference here to leases in this exhibit, using the same harmonizing approach, decides that the intent was to convey the override to the entire lease. Now, what the Supreme Court of Texas says, or their rationale, is that the exhibit identifies the location on Section 28 where the only well from which oil and gas was being produced could give rise to overriding royalties. And the well is located in the northwest quarter. But they say that was only done to identify the location of the well, and that if you look at the entirety of the deed, that is the deed itself plus the exhibit, you have to come to the conclusion that it was intended to convey the entire lease. Kind of a lesson here about using exhibits to describe a bunch of properties is to make clear, I guess, what it is the exhibit is describing and what the parties intend as far as a conveyance is concerned. Well, further to this case, next slide, please. What I've done here is I've given you a quotation from the case in outline form. And I think it's useful because it's the first time that I know of where the court has decided to identify some of the many so-called arbitrary, mechanical, and default rules that the court is casting off. Okay. Three are mentioned: a default rule requiring royalty interest to be carved proportionally from two mineral ownerships. That was the Davis versus Mueller decision. A mechanical approach requiring rote multiplication of double fractions whenever they exist. There are several of those cases. Heiss, I guess, being a recent example.